D-Mace Finnegan and Donick 102.5, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Finnegan, and David Janes here with you. We are proudly presented by BAX Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. You can visit them online and get a free estimate at baxhomeworks.com. A reminder that since it's Wednesday at around 5:20, silly underdog picks, Derek Mason has since taken over first place. I think it should be mentioned that I have won three consecutive games.
I just sense a lot of anticipation.
But you ain't in a lead, so it don't matter.
Yet.
You ain't in a lead. Yeah, whatever. Schematics can matter.
But you know what we can all agree on? Chris Sanders stinks.
Yeah, he does.
We'll get to that.
How rude.
He gets what he deserves.
Exactly.
When it comes to silly underdog picks. Take no prisoners. That's how I see it. But we'll get to that in roughly an hour. Before we get to our next topic, let's go to Mike, who's on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to ask you guys a question. Who actually made the decision, do you think, now who's going to be the play caller? Because I've never heard of this guy that is now going to call the offensive plays. And therefore, Brian Callahan is going to have to step aside and sit along the sidelines as the head coach. That doesn't sound good. And so now we're going to Houston, and that works where you first came from. And what if we lose down there? Are we setting Callahan up to be fired? Did Amy Adams or the general manager actually maneuver this whole thing to where we can get rid of Brian Callahan if we lose in Houston by now naming a new play caller? And then poor old Cam, you know, what is he saying? What's going on here? I would be if I was a young kid quarterback. What's going on in this organization?
Thank you for the call, Mike. I love a good conspiracy theory. Amy Adams Strunk, Chad Brinker, Mike Borgonzi pulling the strings to set up Brian Callahan to fail in Houston. So to answer your first question, Bo Hardigree is the quarterback's coach. He is going to be calling plays starting Sunday in Houston. Bo Hardigree has interim play calling experience from a few years ago with the Las Vegas Raiders when the Raiders fired Josh McDaniels. So that's who's calling the plays. The question about Cam Ward is a question that I find to be interesting. Cam Ward addressed reporters today. You know how Cam Ward is. He's a professional. He knows how to answer the questions. Perhaps his coach could take a lesson or two. But he didn't say anything necessarily groundbreaking or newsworthy. But I am wondering a little bit, what must Cam Ward be thinking right now? Because I've mentioned this a couple of times, that Cam Ward went out of his way on multiple occasions, unprompted, I think, if I recall correctly, talking about how much he likes working with Brian Callahan. It happened after one of the joint practices. I want to say it was in Atlanta. And then it happened after one of the games, I think, this season. So it's happened a couple of times. So Cam Ward has gone up to bat for Brian Callahan. But Cam Ward, three games into his NFL career, has a new coach calling the play. So what must be going on in his mind right now, Derek Mason?
Well, it's not like you're replacing him with somebody outside the building. So from a schematic standpoint, plays, it's going to stay the same. I probably lean toward it shouldn't – whatever hiccups they may have, they should be gone quickly, because he was the quarterback's coach, and they've been working very closely together on technique and scheme and everything else, along with offensive coordinator / head coach who calls plays on the day of the game. But I'm sure he spent a lot of time with both Hardigree and Holtz. Not to say he wasn't spending time with Callahan, because he was. So I think he has an understanding of Hardigree and what Hardigree may think fits Cam better. I don't think this is going to be it's going to take him three weeks to sort of get used to Cam and Cam to get used to him. I think this is something that has been sort of growing throughout the season and even last year, their relationship, I mean. And I'm sure that Cam trusts Bo Hardaway. So that trust alone should cause whatever, you know, hiccups they may have to not be there for a long time. Now, Brian still's got, he still will be there. And he had every right to fight for his signal caller. He had it every right. What does he look like as a first-year guy coming out saying, nah, y'all right, he ain't a good offensive coordinator, man. I wish they'd go to Bo Hardaway. No, he stood up for his coordinator. But that doesn't mean he didn't have or wasn't building that relationship with his quarterback's coach. So, yeah, they may be under center more because Bo Hardaway and Cam might have talked about this. Like, how do you feel about being under center more? Cam's probably, I like it. Okay, let's go with it. So now we're continuing our relationship. So some things they look different, you know. But for as far as a play calling, I mean, as far as plays, they're all going to be the same. Well, it's just
less
when
about
you call
the play
them.
Calling, though, at least to me, and more about the. What's the quote from Kevin O'Connell? We consistently bring up on the show. Organizations fail quarterbacks more than quarterbacks fail organizations.
Yes.
So Cam Ward, 3 games into his NFL career, and when you go number one overall, more often than not, unless the team trades the pick, you are going to a terrible team. So he knew what he was getting into when the Titans drafted him. But don't you think there has to be part of him in the back of his mind who's just like, oh, crap. Like 3 games in, my
no,
head coach.
He's not. Well, he's
but,
not.
But he's got to be aware of the history and the challenges of being the first pick, a quarterback going to the worst team. The history is clear. There are struggles, even for those that have made it, like Peyton Manning and Troy Aikman, the great success stories, they still struggled. So I would hope he's aware of it. I mean, that's the reason we study history. I was a history major mm-hmm. at Vanderbilt. C+ average. C's get degrees.
Bingo.
Absolutely. There you go.
But you learn from history, right? So it doesn't repeat. So I hope he's been taught that, hey, this is going to be part of it. There's going to be struggles. But that is what I think has to be the main focus from the top down, and that is the process. How do we preserve Cam? How do we get him through these tough times? If they go 2-15 and get the first pick, that may be exactly what they need to trade the pick down and get the number of picks that they have said they want to get that are high. They're just going to do it inversely for what they could have done. They thought enough of Cam to turn that opportunity to get a big package of picks down because they thought that much of him. But you heard the urgency in Dan Orlovsky's voice, which I thought was telling. It's basically, look, this thing can go either way. We've seen it. Dan Orlovsky basically said, look, this guy's good enough to be a very good quarterback. Now, how good? That's a whole question for another day, right? What is his ceiling? I don't know if it's Jared Goff or Lamar Jackson or that level, but I think he's got a chance to be good. But it's teetering, right? If he gets bad habits, bad mechanics, and falls into the traps that a lot of quarterbacks have done over the years, then it's going to affect his ability to be as good as he can be.
Yeah, I get that point. But when you fail, when you're in the process of failing a quarterback, it's a lot of new regimes, you know, someone that's bringing in a whole new system, a new perspective. Everything is new. And when you do that too many times, yes, each time you do it, you're setting your quarterback back. But in this case, that's not the situation. Yeah, you changed play callers, but you didn't change the offense and the philosophy of what you want to do. Now, he may call it different in the game, or you may be underneath center a little bit more, but I don't think that's something that will probably help him instead of being detrimental to him. Now, if they went out and said, you know what, we're going out and getting another offensive coordinator that's been sitting out in the streets, you know, go out and get Bruce Arians. He knows how to call plays, don't he? Go out and get Bruce Arians. Or make McCoy the offensive coordinator. These guys hadn't been entrenched in this offense. They don't know how we want to run this thing. I may not call the plays, but the philosophy is there. That would hurt him more than saying, okay, we're going to make Bo Hart agree, the offensive coordinator. Why? Because Bo has been in the room with him. Bo understands it. They talk. He and Brian Callen, they all talk the same lingo. So plays may be, in certain situations, may be different, which may help Cam. I may be under center more, which may help Cam. So I see this as not damaging Cam. I see this as trying to help him because you're still hiring. You're just promoting from within. Now, if they go out and they fire Callahan and everybody else, yeah, that's doing harm, foreseeable harm, unless you make the right choice with the next head coach.
Here's an interesting philosophical question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. One texter says, that organization's fail quarterbacks quote is 100% opinion. Well, duh. There are too many variables to state that as a fact. 95% of the time, it's failures on both sides. I will say with the Titans, it was 99% Levis. With Vince Young, it was 90% Fisher slash Chow.
With Vince Young, it was 90% Fisher
slash
Chow?
I think it was a little bit of both from what I was hearing.
Well, yeah, I think there were a lot of stories of Vince Young and his habits and some of his actions that would have to be. Look, I'm not going out on a limb. I don't think it was 90-10.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
I wasn't here for that. I have no recollection of that era of Titans.
I mean, I'm sure Fisher and Chow, you got to take a little bit of it. Yeah. Everybody's got, it's never 100 to nothing, but it wasn't 90-10.
It wasn't that lopsided.
No.
No, but
I don't
want to
dump on VY, right? Yeah. But it's well documented, some of the stuff.
And whether it be,
disappeared for a couple days.
Yeah, whether it be
that happened
or Locker. I mean, it for whatever reason, it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
You know?
Matthew from Jolton said, I was a trade the pick guy, but I think the Titans have a dude at quarterback, but you have to build an offensive line that can stay healthy. The Titans have invested a lot of resources into that offensive line. You have two first-round picks. You paid a left tackle big in free agency. You paid a center big in free agency the year before. You bring in a veteran in Kevin Zeitler. But when the right side of your line, of your starting line, is unavailable, I mean, I can...
That's unfortunate.
Yes.
They have not been able to see the benefits of the investment. Although... Skoronski is playing well.
Yes,
right?
he's playing really well. Yes,
Dan Moore.
No.
But that's kind of what you kind of knew this was going to be a thing.
I thought it was going to be better than what he's
hoped
been
hoped it
playing.
Would be better. We knew Cushenberry. Got to give him some time. He's coming back from a very serious injury, and then the unfortunate part is the other two guys got hurt, so they haven't reaped any benefit from the investment that they made. They haven't seen that group of five gel the way they were hoping.
Here are some blocking numbers from Pro Football Focus on the Tennessee Titans offensive line.
Wait, I sense in your voice. We're not going to like what we hear.
If you have a weak constitution, I suggest you.
What you say about my constitution?
If you have a weak constitution, I suggest you pull over to the side of the road, put your hazards on. Just take a moment. I don't want you to get sick while you're driving.
It's like there was a great commercial. You know, Kevin Hart does a lot of commercials with LeBron. And one of them, they were playing golf in the golf cart, and Kevin Hart was filming LeBron's ugly golf swing. He goes, when I show you this film, you're not going to like it.
So there you go.
John Ojukwu.
Oh.
10 pressures allowed, 6 hurries allowed, 4 sacks allowed. Dan Moore Jr., 9 pressures allowed, 5 hurries allowed, 2 quarterback hits allowed, 2 sacks allowed. Lloyd Cushenberry, 7 pressures allowed, 2 hurries allowed, 3 quarterback hits allowed, 2 sacks allowed. By the way, Peter Skoronski, 2 pressures, 2 hurries, 0 hits, 0 sacks.
Pretty good.
Kevin Zeitler, when he has been available, 3 pressures allowed, 2 hurries, 1 hit, 0 sacks. Mm. Ollie Udo, 5 pressures, 3 hurries, 1 hit, 1 sack. So John Ojukwu and
the least
Dan Moore
of plays.
Are... not doing so good.
Do we have anything on Mr. Hants?
Mr. Hants, 3 pressures allowed, 3 hurries allowed, 0 hits, 0 sacks.
Okay.
There's been at least a couple plays where I've seen him get blown back. I don't know if blown backs are
is that a stat? Blown backs.
Pancakes allowed.
Pancakes.
Isn't that a football stat?
Yeah, they chart it. They chart pancakes.
Pancakes?
So. Yeah. Orlando Pace?
Yeah.
Dustin from Hopkinsville says, heck yeah, our number 11 pick guard is playing well. LOL. Well, at least some, at least somebody is. Okay?
Man, we're trying to pick out some good in all this. Man, goodness.
One texter says, I was a believer in trading the pick also, but after seeing Cam Ward in three games, I feel like the system and the wide receivers have let him down.
Okay, well, here's a question. If you're looking at the outlook and it looks as bleak as it appears, then what about Orlovsky's thought of, look, even if it costs you a little bit in the short term, go process-oriented. Go more under the center. So over time, as you do build the roster, he'll have the experience under his belt of balancing his comfort zone, which would appear to be the shotgun, which is what they're running way more. Shotgun happy was the Orlovsky term. And run more plays under center, A, to protect him, because maybe you use a little more play action. You use more two tight end sets. I'm curious if that ends up becoming the thing.
Wesson Hermitage says, now that we know how many sacks each lineman has allowed, how many sacks has Cam Ward allowed or been at fault for? Well, Wes, according to Pro Football Focus, Cam Ward has been responsible for three of his sacks.
Yeah. Well, that goes to the adage that we have brought to the table, the Sean Payton-ism.
Yeah.
Sacks or a quarterback stat, not an offensive line stat.
Well, it can be a quarterback stat.
Which is hard to believe when you watch this offensive line.
It can be a
quarterback
stat.
Especially Ojukwu and Udo, that deadly combination.
Lamar Jackson.
The double O combination.
Leads the NFL in quarterback in terms of sacks that can be placed on the quarterback. Lamar Jackson with 7. Justin Herbert with 6. Patrick Mahomes with 4. Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, Drake May, and Cam Ward with 3 each. So, for whatever that's worth. 615-737-1025. Okay. We did not get to the player we alluded to before the previous break. We will do that next because Derek Mason has some thoughts. I also have some numbers. We'll nerd it up. We'll chop it up. We're going to crap all over Calvin Ridley for 20 minutes. And we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. Willie Tonic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.
It's ultimately on him to do it, but what can you guys do as a staff to try to help Calvin snap out of the funk he's been in?
I think there's the work part of it, you know, just go back to work and focus on the things that help you execute the basics, you know. Again, catching a football is sort of the basic requirement of the job, and you have to work at that sometimes, and that's a mindset, that's a focus thing. The other part of it is, you know, I try to remind them every now and again. You just try to build their confidence back up. But, you know, it's Calvin Ridley. You know what I mean? Like, he's a first-round pick. He's been a great player in this league. He's won national championships. Sometimes guys need to be reminded that that's who they are. Build the confidence back up. It's like I said, it's like a slump for a hitter. And you got to find a way out of it. And sometimes it just takes the one catch or the one play to break that feeling, and you're kind of right back to where you are. So that's the sports psych part of it. You know, there's an element of that for all these guys. You know, when things aren't going their way, and we got to find a way to help them get out of it.
That was Brian Callahan on Calvin Ridley. Wes in Hermitage on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm excited. Nothing like just crapping all over somebody. I am so ready. Of course, I was being a bit flippant when I said that we were going to crap all over Calvin Ridley, but we are going to talk about Calvin Ridley and what the F is up with Calvin Ridley. So Calvin Ridley, so far this season, gentlemen, 21 targets, 8 receptions for 111 yards and 0 touchdowns. And I want Derek to use the wide receiver translator, which we will do momentarily. But I wanted to put Calvin Ridley's struggles into context. So the NFL has a stat that it maintains called catch rate over expected, which measures the difficulty of completions using a number of factors, including separation from the nearest defender, depth of target, and speed. Players who boast higher numbers in this category have consistently made difficult, unlikely catches more often than the rest. Calvin Ridley has a catch rate over expected of -23%, which means that Calvin Ridley should have a catch rate of 61.1%. So Calvin Ridley has caught 38.1% of the balls thrown his way. Based on this statistical measure, he should have caught 61.1% of the balls thrown his way. The only receiver in the NFL, out of 80 qualified receivers, Ridley is 79th. The only wide receiver with a worse catch rate over expected is Brian Thomas Jr. in Jacksonville with a catch rate over expected of negative 33.4%.
Wow. So that's an interesting story.
So
based on how good he's supposed to be, how much they rely on him.
So Calvin Ridley, at the bottom of the league, at catching balls that he should catch. And you don't need fancy stats to tell you that. If you watch the games, you see that. But I wanted to quantify it. Now, let's turn it over to the All-Pro wide receiver and the wide receiver translator to get his thoughts on WTF Calvin Ridley.
Wide receiver translator.
Calvin Ridley hasn't been good at all this season. Overall, he's had some good moments, the second game of the season, when he, you know, dropped a handful of balls. Listen, Advanced Pro Football Reference, they got him at 4 drops. But I think they're being nice.
I believe Pro Football Focus has him at 3.
They all being nice. They
How many would you say he has?
I would say he has about 6 of them.
Damn.
He's not playing, for whatever reason, he's not playing up to the level that he needs to be. He has a drop rate of 19%. He, with anybody over 21 targets, he has the highest drop rate at 19%. He has 4 drops. He's tied with Brian Thomas and CeeDee Lamb with 4 drops. If he doesn't play well, it's hard to develop your quarterback the way you want him to, the way you want to. He's supposed to be your number one receiver, but he's not doing number one receiver things. He's not even close to it. He's dropping balls that he should catch. And there's no excuse for that. Brian Callahan can say all he wants, but there's no excuse for that. He works hard. We all know that. He goes full speed, at least on that first pass in the Indianapolis game, which I'm still peeved for that one. Whenever you step on that field, it's 100 miles per hour, especially at the beginning of the game when the ball is called for you. I'm sure y'all ran that route right there, that quick out, because it was a part of the first 15. I'm sure you knew exactly. This is a route. This is a play called for you. More than likely, you will be the number one read, and you will get the ball. And you half-assed it. You did. I'm just being honest. You half-assed it. At first glance, it looked like Cam threw it too far. But then, as I watched the film more and more, it's like, no, you didn't come out there. You didn't come out of your break explosive. You came out of it slow and under control instead of explosive and under control, which caused the ball to be a yard outside of your reach. Just think, had you come out explosive, caught that pass 7 yards, how does it change the dynamics of that first drive? A lot. I'm not going to even let y'all answer that. A lot. It does. Now it's second or third and 2 instead of third and, 8 or 9. You have to do your part. Calvin Ridley has to do his part. He's not holding up his end of the bargain. And he's not showing those guys, those younger guys, this is how number one wide receivers conduct themselves inside the game. This is what we do. We don't make plays all the time, but we're going to make the play we need to make when that time comes. And this season, Calvin Ridley hasn't done that. He hasn't. And I'm not sitting here not saying something that I wouldn't say or saying something that I wouldn't say right in front of him. If I was his coach, I would sit him down by himself, or I sit him down in front of the crew. Like, we fam, you need to play better, flat out. That's what needs to happen. You are a leader in this locker room, in this receiver room. You need to step up. You need to stop dropping passes. You need to concentrate. You need to be in it for 60 minutes. Not 59, not 48, 60 minutes. First play of the game, first pass play of the game, you wasn't in it. I'm telling you, wasn't in it. And I dare anybody else to try to combat that. Watch the film. You see, he wasn't in it. He needs to play better. And the only reason I'm saying this is because I know he can play better. That's the only reason I'm saying. If I thought he was a bum, I wouldn't say nothing. Like cut him. But he's not. Now, has he been performing like a number one wide receiver? No, he hasn't. And that is just, I'm just telling you what I'm seeing. You're not performing. You dropped too many balls to be performing as a number one receiver. You need to be what CeeDee Lamb is to Dak Prescott. You need to be what Jefferson is for McCarthy, or whoever the quarterback is now that McCarthy's hurt.
Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz. You need to be what St. Brown is for Jared Goff, or Puka Nacua is for Matthew Stafford. That's what you need to be for the Titans, and you haven't been that guy. You haven't. So Brian can say all he wants to say until Calvin Ridley figures this thing out, because this is not the first time. He can't keep disappearing, and it's not for the lack of targets either. That now I could see if I looked up in the game, he only had like two targets. Okay, come on, you got to get the man into the game.
He caught one pass on seven targets.
Seven targets
against the Colts.
Seven. You caught one pass and seven targets. You dropped two balls. I'm going to call that, three. You dropped a touchdown. It was two. Okay, well, it was three. You dropped a touchdown. I don't think they called that ball that was thrown in front of them a drop, but I'm going to call that a drop. Why? Because you didn't run out of your break. You run out of your break, that's an easy pitch and catch. First down or second and or third and short. That's three opportunities you had in that game to catch a pass, and you didn't. Or two, and you didn't. So when they say you dropped four balls, they lying because you dropped more than that.
That does bring up my theory. My hypothesis is I don't think Cam Ward throws the easiest ball to catch. And so there are debates, I think, sometimes. What is a drop and what is catchable but not a drop? And I do think that's something that Cam Ward can tweak. But in the meantime, as you pointed out, D-Mace, he desperately has to be the guy that becomes the security blanket. Cam Ward desperately needs what Frank Wycheck was to Steve McNair on a different level, right? We're tight end, short passes, not the same thing. But same thing with Marcus Mariota. He had a veteran tight end as well that was really good. Now, why am I blanking on his...
Who are you talking about?
The tight end that Mariota had for a long time.
Delaney Walker.
Yeah. But a guy that you count on, a veteran that you can count on. It's a little different when you're the wide receiver, but not that much different, right? Mm-hmm. They scheme things, that they game plan to get him the ball. They need him. And I'm looking at the FTN fantasy, and it falls right into line with what you're saying, Adam. Like, there's 172 receivers that are qualified. I mean, he's in the 150s.
Listen, with...
And he's not alone. There are a couple other big-name guys that have really struggled, like Brian Thomas, like Drake London has not done well so far.
But, like I tell my kids, I don't care about them.
Right.
I care about Calvin Ridley. And anyone with six or more targets in the NFL, anyone with six or more targets in the NFL, because that's where the NFL stops, or at least that's where Pro Football Reference stop at, three targets. He has the second highest drop rate. With 19%. And I'm talking about 140 players that they have put down that have six or more targets. And you have the second worst drop rate in the National Football League. Come on, you have to be better than that. Regardless of how Cam Ward throws the football, I think Cam Ward throws a good football. I'm sure he throws no more harder than Mac did or Joe Flacco did. Just catch the damn ball. That's what they pay you for. You got good hands. Catch the ball. They're paying you to catch the ball and score touchdowns. And at this point, you're not doing either or both. You've dropped a touchdown and you've dropped passes. You got to get it straight. In order for this offense to take the step that he needs to take, he has to be one of the main reasons why it takes that step, because he's their number one receiver. Eventually, if he doesn't step up this game, and I'm going to tell y'all what happens. If he doesn't step up after the fourth game, you know what's going to start happening?
Elik Iemander is going to be
absolutely. Absolutely. They're going to start. And you can see Cam starting it already. Cam is starting it already. Because why? Because that young kid is making the catches. He's making them.
His analytic numbers are pretty good. And let's also remember, he should have one more big
Yes,
play,
you should have one more big
play. On there.
And your quarterback looking at that, like, damn, that rookie went up there and got that. I know they said it wasn't a catch, but man, that's who I'm going to now.
It's logical.
Yeah, it's sports.
It's common sense.
It's common sense.
By the way, Alec Geiermanner has a catch rate over expected of positive plus 4.5% compared to Calvin Ridley at minus 23%.
Like, again, that tells you. Listen,
and
Calvin.
And Geiermanner has 18 targets to Ridley's 20.
Right. An EPA way, way higher.
Exactly.
Geiermanner. So when he's catching it, good things are happening.
Exactly. You're moving the chains. Yeah. You're
it's
getting
not
up
just
the
like
field. He's being aggressive.
I can throw the
scoring
swing
touchdown
to you and you don't get any yards. That's not really, you know, the catch rate. That's your catch rate may be high,
yes,
but if nothing's happening.
You ain't getting no yardage. You're not
right,
getting anything.
Right, right. Geiermanner is making significant catches.
And really got to understand, like, dude, if you don't get this going, I think he can. But who am I? But I think he can. I hope he can. But make no mistake, if you do not start making plays, this game against the Houston Texans, and boy, oh boy, you got a secondary to go up against because that defense is good. If you don't start making plays this game, they are going to go away from you. They're going to go to that young kid. And you know what else is going to start happening? DK is going to start playing more. And they're going to start getting him in the mix. Or you're going to start seeing Sean Jefferson a little bit more. He needs to pick his game up.
615-737-1025. A lot of reaction. By the way, who are you? You're Derek Dan Mason. That's who you are. A lot of reaction on Calvin Ridley and Derek's thoughts on Calvin Ridley. Oh, God. Coy in Clarksville, we're not doing this. Bench Ridley for Restrepo. We are not doing this, Coy.
You're not feeling the strep?
No.
Don't,
we're
no,
not, no.
No, we're not. No,
Coy,
we're not there yet.
Coy.
No. And I don't think we'll ever get there, but no.
Coy, we appreciate you listening. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. We'll get to everybody else's reaction on Calvin Ridley coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you.
Can I say this before we get started?
Yes.
The silly underdog picks this week are trash, man. They're not that good.
We will get to that.
Life's what you make it, D-Mace.
You're right, absolutely. You're absolutely right, Willie. You're absolutely right.
A lot of games out there.
Yes.
Willie, I'm trying to phone him off, man.
You have the first pick.
You have the first pick.
I know, but still, I'm trying to phone him off, man.
And I swear.
Yeah, it's all the slate stinks. Oh, man.
And I swear. To whatever God you believe in, but if you take another one of my picks, as you did last week, I mean, it worked out for me because Memphis still pulled it out against Arkansas, but Maryland beating Wisconsin, that was more points.
But had I taken my original one, which was Syracuse, I think I would know because Syracuse was a 10.5 point dog, so I would only got 10.5, I think.
We will get to silly underdog picks at 5:20, but a lot of people want to weigh in on Calvin Ridley. Jeff, by the way, says Adam is starting to get Restrepo throat from all of the talk about giving him a chance.
Restrepo ship.
We're gonna work on it.
We'll workshop that. That ship has sailed. But let's go to Travis on our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Travis, thank you for calling. Go ahead. Travis, are you there? Hello, Travis. Travis, call us back. Let's go to Eddie on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Eddie, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You know, in all my days of playing ball, when I see Calvin Ridley out there playing and dropping balls, he looks like he's scared. That's what I saw the last game. It looked like he's scared. I mean, that's just, you know, you guys can chime in on that.
Thank you, Eddie. By the way,
I do think that is worth the wide receiver translator because I do hear that come up, and I have watched plays where it's a high, hard throw. It is not easy, and you can flash back to when the NFL used to celebrate the collisions over the middle, and you could light the guy up when D-Mace was playing. He had to go through that. But there are times where I feel like he still feels like the rules are when D-Mace played. Like, he doesn't go up aggressively and snatch the balls over the middle that are – I don't say he drops, but they are catchable.
Eli on our text line earlier before that call said Calvin Ridley will not catch a ball if there is a chance for contact. Do you agree?
I think right now Calvin Ridley is in his head. I think he's in his head big time. I can sort of kind of see it. He's thinking about catching the football now instead of it just being a natural thing for him. And, you know, right now he has to work through those struggles, whatever those struggles are. It's a lack of concentration. Now, as far as being scared, again, he's a number one. He's your number one, but he's not. I think people would be hard-pressed to put him as a number one.
We have talked about this. Willie and I have talked about this as well. Willie made the analogy a couple of weeks ago, which I believe is an apt analogy, that Calvin Ridley is the Matt Duchene of the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. He is miscast as a number one receiver, just as Matt Duchene was miscast as a top-line player. For
center in particular, center. Which is what he was signed to be.
Right. For the Nashville Predators. Calvin, I think you said it best just now, Derek. Calvin Ridley is a number one receiver on this team. Mm-hmm. But on a deeper, more well-rounded team, he is not a number one wide receiver.
And they are running this offense through him as if he is a bona fide number one guy. Now, if you put a bona fide number one guy on the side of him, hell, Calvin Ridley, he's going to be that sort of, he's going to be that ideal number two. He's going to be that guy that if everybody's loading up on the number one, he can come through. He's going to get you the catches, but he needs to be secondary. He's secondary. When the light is on him, when he has to be that guy, he hasn't been able to consistently do it. And he hasn't shown up consistently in those moments that they've needed him, especially with this young quarterback. That touchdown that you dropped in the end zone, that was a flat-out drop. You got to have that one for your young quarterback. And you haven't made enough plays to sort of get everybody to forget about that drop that you made. So, to me, they are trying to, they probably know that if you're just talking about ideal number ones, again, if they had a pick of number ones, he probably wouldn't be in the top 10 in their picks if they had to pick number one guys. If you threw everybody in the draft again and they had to pick, Calvin Ridley wouldn't be the 10th. He wouldn't be a top 10 pick if the Titans were drafting a wide receiver. But because of where they're at as a team, he has to be their number one. But he hasn't consistently been that guy, especially this season. So they're going to have to – he's going to have to figure it out, or they're going to figure it out for him, which means they're going to go to the younger guy, and they're going to start giving him an opportunity. And when that happens, your days are numbered if you don't pick up your play and become the number two. That's just how it is. I mean, we'll see it. They're not going to try to hide it. We're going to see once it starts shifting, once those targets start shifting, we will know they've had enough. We don't believe you can be that guy, so we're going to go to our rookie guy and see if he can make up for whatever you're not giving us. But again, I think Calvin Ridley can go out there and be a much better player than he has been thus far, but he hadn't shown it. So I'm just going by what he's shown me. He's shown me that Io Manor needs to be the number one, and then you need to be the number one, number two, and see how that works.
Skyler on our text line says, could the Titans trade Ridley for a fourth round pick to the Chiefs, or are his numbers so bad that they wouldn't give up anything but a fifth? I don't know the answer to that. I mean, Calvin Ridley has not played well enough to get
now
a significant asset, I would imagine.
But let's go back through some things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
A, the Chiefs have issues at wide receiver.
just mm-hmm. as they did last year.
Just
when
as they
also
did last year.
Well, they're getting their guys. They're Titans. Getting one of their guys back, one or two of their guys back, pretty mm-hmm. soon here.
Yeah, and so they may not. They mm-hmm. may not bite, but they like a lot of guys, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Andy Reid likes a lot of different kind of guys. The other part to me that's interesting is Calvin Ridley did have a bad start to last year. He I believe, after four games last year, had 27 targets and 9 catches. So he's about on the same pace, the same kind of start. And he did end up with over 1,000 yards. So he did heat up eventually to some degree. And a lot of it was, if I had to say, just being real in garbage time. Mm-hmm. Some games like the Lions game, or it wasn't the Lions game. He had like mm-hmm. 10 catches. They were getting smoked. But he did have a really good game. So he can be better. Like he's way better than those numbers. It's like,
yes.
It's like a guy that has had good years in the big leagues and he's on the trade block because he's hitting 190. And you're like, he's hitting 190. He's been very disappointing, but I think he's better than that.
Yes.
So it's a question that I think they need to take a look at, especially if they are feeling really good about Iowa Manor, DK. Now, DK's numbers are not good in the passing game. He's been the best things that he has done has been.
He's a gadget guy.
Right now. That's how they're using it. Specialty plays, some end arounds, the sweep. Yes. And of course the returns. He looks like he's a good football player that maybe they have to find out if he can be a regular wide receiver. But I think looking at what the value is, the texter asked a really good question. What could you get? I think they should find out. Would you do it for a fourth round pick?
Possibly. Yeah.
What did DeAndre Hopkins go
fifth
for?
Fifth round pick. That was conditional. Remember when the conditions mm-hmm. were almost impossible?
The snap count.
They were going to make the conditions.
The snap counts and all
they
that
They were going
to
make sure he didn't make that. But
hey, Andy,
if
DeAndre Hopkins is on the field for this one play, we have to give up a fourth round pick. So,
all right, City.
Don't play him for this one snap, please. Thank you.
I don't know. I mean, you would hope that. And I'm not to the point where I'm saying trade Calvin Ridley. I'm not to that point.
They've got another month.
Yeah,
to sort this out.
But if you do, if that's what they're thinking, after say another month, we get into late October, somewhere around there, right before the trade deadline, or as it is approaching, then okay. If he hadn't played better, then that's something that you got to really look at. But if he's starting to play better and he's picking up his game, then, and especially if Owl Matter is developing the way you want him to, then I would keep Calvin Ridley, because I would rather have two good receivers that is building chemistry with my young quarterback than one. But that's all predicated on whether Calvin Ridley starts to play the way that I think he can play.
615-737-1025. We will take your thoughts on Calvin Ridley. 615-737-1025. Please, no more Restrepo takes. But you can text us about Calvin Ridley if you want. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We will get his thoughts on everything that's been going on in Titans land over the past couple of days. Jonathan Hutton will join us next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.